In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, Word of God, reveal more of yourself to us through your presence in the Bible. Led by the Holy Spirit, guide our time of reflection. May it increase our desire for you in the Scripture and in the sacrament. Amen. You know that feeling when your favorite sports team starts a new season? No matter what has happened in the off-season, there's always optimism to be had. Maybe this is it. Maybe things will turn around. That's a bit of what Zechariah might have been feeling in his day. The Israelites had returned from exile in Babylon and were setting out to rebuild their city. As they did so, Zechariah was prophesying about a day when Jerusalem would return to glory and exceed that former glory by becoming the pinnacle of all nations. Our first reading is taken from chapter 9 of this book of Zechariah, and the prophet is looking ahead to when God's kingdom will be established at last. But there's something a bit curious about the king of this kingdom. Thus says the Lord, "See, your king shall come to you. A just savior is he, meek, and riding on an ass, on a colt, the foal of an ass." In Zechariah's future vision, the king arrives into Jerusalem, but he's doing so not on a horse of war, but on a donkey. Think about it. If the king of all the world was parading into the capital city, you'd think he'd want to do so with all the pomp and circumstance befitting his title. But not this king. We're told this king, the one whose dominion shall be from sea to sea, rides in meek on a donkey. All four Gospels use this verse when speaking of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. We hear it each Palm Sunday. Jesus arrives into Jerusalem and fulfills the vision of Zechariah as the King of Kings. Our second reading can cause some head-scratching when we first hear it. In this passage from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, Paul begins by telling the Christians in Rome that they are not in the flesh. On the contrary, they are in the Spirit. Now, right out of the gate, it would be silly to conclude that St. Paul is telling these Christians that they are no longer living physically in the flesh. Because that wouldn't be true. As human beings, they continue to live in a fleshy body even after their baptism. What St. Paul is getting at here when he talks about being in the flesh or in the Spirit is something more like an orientation or a possession. It's like he's telling them, you're no longer possessed by the flesh now because you've been baptized and you're possessed by the Spirit. To live in the flesh is to allow the body's base and carnal desires to rule the day, while living in the Spirit, or as other translations have it, according to the Spirit, means that one's aspirations are more divine and godly. For Paul, the cornerstone of being a Christian is this: living in step and with an orientation to the divine Spirit which dwells within. Because of this, those who have the Spirit of Christ within them have a hope that the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also. You may have heard before that when it comes to our gospel passage, Jesus was innovative for referring to God as Father. He does so at the very beginning of the excerpt we hear this weekend. "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth." But the fact of the matter is that references to God as Father of Israel can be found in the books of both Deuteronomy and Isaiah. Nevertheless, Jesus gives praise to God the Father because he's hidden things from the wise and the learned, but revealed them to little ones. From there, Jesus offers a very famous line, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." He invites his hearers to take his yoke upon them and learn from him. This image of a yoke derives from heavy wooden bars that would be placed on the neck and shoulders of people and animals to allow them to carry burdens. But we also see the yoke used as a metaphor for students learning from a teacher. In the 51st chapter of the book of Sirach, the author tells his students to put your neck under the yoke and let your souls receive instruction. Yoke was a known image for submitting to the teaching of a master. Later in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus will speak of the scribes and Pharisees as those who, quote, bind heavy burdens on others. Thus, Jesus is calling his followers away from the burden of the Pharisees to a burden that is light. But what is meant here? Well, strictly speaking, the law itself wasn't what caused the burden, because the law finds its origin in God. And remember, Jesus himself said that he came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. The burden that Jesus wants to alleviate from the shoulders of his followers, then, was the stringent application of the Mosaic Law beyond possibility of fulfillment. So that's it. That's your Sunday setup for this 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time in Year A. May this knowledge of the story behind the scripture allow you to encounter Jesus Christ in a new way this weekend. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.